Well, before we get into the message, I want you guys to watch this short intro video to the Time Is Now series, and I'll be right back over.
Once upon a time, there was a man named Solomon who built a mighty temple. But before long, the people of Judah turned away from God and began to worship foreign gods and idols. One day, God allowed the Babylonians to attack Judah and destroy the whole city, including God's temple. The people of Judah remained in captivity until one day God raised up the prophet Haggai to inspire the people to get back to work, saying, "The time is now."
So I know that sometimes in life we face discouragement. Do you know that? That sometimes, I know, you know, a lot of you guys have been living life and living on the planet longer than I have. And some of you who, so I know you've experienced things that I haven't experienced. You've entered into situations where you've been discouraged and you feel like the whole world's caving in. You just need a little bit of perseverance. You need some ability, some strength to get through. Whether you're older than me or younger than me, so that's plus or minus 33, right? So it doesn't, age doesn't mean that you have or have not experienced certain things, because you could be younger than me and have had a much more difficult life than me, or you could be older than me and have a much more easygoing life than what I've had. I realize that. But I do know that we have this kind of common thread of we face in life discouragements, and we need help or strength to persevere, to come through. And that's what this second message in as we walk through the book of Haggai is about, persevering through discouragement. So you saw in the video what we're doing kind of here is I want to give you a quick reintroduction briefly of what's happening in the book of Haggai. So if you got the email or if you're here last week and I ask you to, if you read the book of Haggai, it's very short. In the video, they say Haggai. I can't do that. I grew up saying Haggai, so Haggai is what I do. I'm just settling in there, and I hope you're cool with that, right? Either one is fine. But Haggai, here's what's happening before we get into Haggai, kind of, and you see a piece of that in the short intro video. So King Solomon, the son of King David, who inherited his wealth, King David had this goal, this God-given mission to build the temple, and because of his sins and because of the blood on his hands and all of the time he spent in battle, God told him, you know what, you're not going to get to build my temple. That's going to be on to your son. And so Solomon inherits the wealth and inherits the mission. So with all of those things combined, he builds this magnificent temple for God. Beautiful temple. Mind-blowing temple, the kind of temple that people were coming from all over the place because they wanted to honor God and they wanted to worship God, but also people were coming just to see this temple, to see the glory of this awesome temple that King Solomon had built. It must have been some amazing architectural marvel of the day. And it had this, all of this draw, and God was getting glorified. But then, as you would expect, King Solomon came to the end of his life and he passed away. And after he passed away, the people, how often does this happen, right? The leader or the influencer kind of passes away or retires or moves on. And so all the people that were following this guru or this leader, all of them kind of lose their way. So what happened was when King Solomon passed away, the people kind of, they turned away from God and just like we often do, they got distracted and started turning towards idols and turning towards things that were not centered on or led by God or weren't necessarily holy, more or less sinful. So in response to this, God allowed, how many of you know God sometimes allows things to happen in our life to kind of teach us something, to grow us something, to move us to more maturity? God allows these series of events to kind of take place in their life to bring focus back to him, to remind them that he is the giver of life and they need to worship him. So in around the year 587 BC, so 587 years before Jesus walked the earth, under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, you're probably familiar with that name because it kind of is one of the ones that jumps out because it's so odd and awesome all at the same time. So King Nebi, you can call him King Nebi for short. He leads the Babylonian army into Judah, and they completely destroy Judah and devastate the temple, and they take about 50,000 people captive for 50 years. And they take them away from their homeland, and for 50 years, so mind you, I said I'm 33, so for 50 years, so this would be more than my life. For 50 years, these 50,000 people were, or all of these people, not 50,000, all of these people were away, and they could not rebuild the temple, even though they wanted to. And then after the 50 years, 50,000 people, to make a correction on what I'm saying, 50,000 people were allowed, that remnant of people were allowed to go back, and they were allowed to start rebuilding their homeland. And their first priority was to rebuild the temple to its previous glory, rebuild the temple to what it was. So they got the foundation in place, then they got the altar in place, and then all of a sudden they met some resistance. These Samaritans, these people came in and they kind of started saying, oh, you can't do this, or this doesn't make sense, or you're never going to get there. So they quit. And for 14 years, after wanting so bad to rebuild that temple, for 14 years, they left it sit with nothing happening, unfinished, no progress. So the prophet raised, so the Lord raised up the prophet Haggai. And he raised him up to call the people back, call them back to the task that he had planned for them. And he said, listen, from the beginning of time, I've known that this is what would happen in this generation, that this would be your duty, that this would be your call, that this would be the purpose of your life, that you're called for this time, at this moment in time, to rebuild my house. So the prophet Haggai comes back and says, listen, guys, don't just focus on your house, on your mansion, on your estate, on your name and your fame. You need to focus on God's house. Stop trying to be so comfortable all the time and put God first in your life. So that's where we want to pick up the story in Haggai 1, 13 and 14. So if you have your Bibles with you or you have your phone or you just want to read it on the screen, that's fine. If you don't have a Bible, take one from the tool crib for free. So we want to pick up the story. Haggai 1:13 says, and then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, said, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came back and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now, I love this. If it's the first time you're reading, and I know I spent a little bit more time in the passage for the week than you do, right? So a lot of you guys are walking, you're like, okay, what are we looking at? So you see this, and you see all of these locations and these big names and these big words. So if you really see, you kind of see everything. But let me just point out what I want you to see in this. And what I want you to see is what God did when he needed to recharge the mission that he was calling these people to. What he did is he stirred the spirit. He stirred the spirit of the governor. He stirred the spirit of the high priest. And then he stirred the spirit of all of the remnant of the people, all of the people that came back, all 50,000 people that came back with a mission and then sat on their hands for 14 years. He stirs in their spirit to call them back to the mission. Now, what does God often do in our lives when he's got something for us? God gives us hope to accomplish something that he puts on our hearts. He stirs inside of us what he's calling us to do. Now, he stirs up their spirits. And if you're a follower of Christ, this is something that will happen periodically in your life. Have you ever been in that situation where you're just kind of going about your life, you're going about your day, and maybe an opportunity comes along, or maybe an idea comes through a conversation, or maybe you're just praying and the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart that you didn't expect, and you kind of come out of that and you're like, well, that was just out of the blue, but I think we're supposed to do this. That feels like it came totally out of left field, but I think we're supposed to do this. I mean, I'll give you an example from my own life. When in 2014, when my wife and I decided to come to One Life, now I give you the pastoral calling example, but I want you to know this is not limited to pastoral calling. This is just in general. If you're a Christian living by the Spirit's lead, this stuff happens to everybody. It can. So my wife and I, we're just going about our business. We're just living our lives back in New Bethlehem. We're working a couple jobs. We're hanging out with family, doing our thing. Then, you know, I kind of started doing a little bit of guest preaching, like they call it lay preaching, where I'm going and just kind of filling pulpits at churches here and there. And all of a sudden, the opportunity came to come here and to meet the people that were starting and leading this church. And so I came over. We candidated, which basically just means, hey, show up and bring your best sermon, and we'll decide if we like you or not, right? Like, how's that work? So I came and I preached, and then we went back to the Cressley's house and we sat around and we had dinner, and it went really well. And on the way home, my wife and I were riding in the car and having a conversation. And it really, as we're talking about it, it was evident to us that God was stirring in our spirits that this was the right next step for us. That God was telling us to come, that God was telling us that this is what we were supposed to do for this season. So you have to have faith for something that God calls you to, because if he calls you to it, he's gonna help you work through it. He's gonna be there as you're going. But God stirs these things in us as he leads us. So that's what God's doing here. He's stirring in their spirit, say, hey, I got a calling on your life. I got a purpose for you. I got a mission for you. And it's not about your comfort, because if I was all about your comfort and your happiness and your ability to sit on the lazy boy and just watch the game and not have to worry about anything else ever, then I would say, yeah, build your house. Make it nicer. Forget about me. Just do you, man. Just do you. But God is different than that. God is bigger than that. God says, I got a bigger purpose for your life, a purpose that's going to outlive your life, outlive your generation. So he stirs in their spirit to get back to work. But the story goes this way. He stirs it in their spirits, and they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord. Oh, God set me on this path, right? Like, this is right. This is right. God set me on this. But they take this, we can do this, this motivation, this whole like, well, I went to church or I went to a conference and I got fired up, so I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But then what happens is they go home and 1 month later, literally to the day, 1 month later, guess what happened? They fizzled out. They fizzled out. The fire only went on so long. They had one big religious festival and all the people gather around the temple construction site and they look at it and they say, is this all there is? Is that it? Is this all that we've done? This is pathetic. Is that all that we've accomplished? We've been working for a month, and this is all that we've done? All of a sudden, everybody's discouraged because they've tried their best for 1 month, and the progress wasn't good enough, so they quit. They quit. Now let's be honest. How often does that happen in our life? How often do you get fired up for something? You do it for a while, and then you bottom out. Or how often do you get fired up for something, and then you find out, you know what, maybe this isn't right, because maybe, you know, I'm getting attacked. This is hard. But I've been working my tail off, and I thought I could get there, but you know what, I can't. Now, I know, now just as a simple example, I know that we do this a lot in our lives where non-spiritual things, just we get excited about something. I mean, I'll give you an example where I got excited about something and I set this big goal and I totally flamed out, totally bombed it. In 2014, I was doing quite a bit of running, but I hadn't gotten really good at it yet. Like, I hadn't built up this awesome endurance. But they were doing this, it was called a Coggan Jog in Reimersburg, where you would run 6 miles in the woods, right? Like, in the woods, like, legitimately on, like, dirt bike trails, four-wheeler trails, through the woods, up and down, up and down. I mean, you guys get off the main road, you know what it's like. You live around here. It can get pretty tough. So I was like, okay, so you run 6 miles in the woods, trail running, and then when you're done with that, literally, if you're slow like me, like literally within a half hour of finishing the foot race, it's time to get on your mountain bike and do the same trail. And I looked at this and I said to my wife, I can do that. And she's like, God, you've never even run 6 miles. I was like, I got close one time. So we go and I sign up for this, and I'm all fired up talking to some friends that were there. I'm like, I'm going to do this. They're like, which one are you doing? I said, I'm doing both. They kind of look up and down me like, with that body? Are you sure? I was like, come on, right? So I go and I run the 6 miles and I'm working hard and I'm loving it, and I just had a great time, and I wasn't certainly anywhere close to the top of the field, but I made it. And I get down to the finish line and to the new starting line, and you know how they do it. You ever seen one of these races where it's like, okay, you're gonna go 6 miles, but the first thing you have to do is climb this mountain. And it was awful, right? But 30 minutes later, I get on my bike and I start riding my bike, and I have to immediately push it up the hill. And by the time I get to the top of the hill, I just know I'm doomed. So I start riding and I'm tired and I'm drinking and I'm tired and I'm drinking and I'm tired. And about a mile in, I go past this guy who had his bike broke, his tire popped, and he's sitting there fixing his tire. And I'm just looking at him like, oh, I wish my bike was broken. Like that, I wish so bad I could sit down and fix my tire. But I need an excuse, right? But I pedaled and I pedaled and I pedaled, and probably two and a half miles in, I pulled over at one of those water stations and I just said, guys, I need the side-by-side ride of shame. And I did it. Hey, full disclosure, I am weak, right? I got on, I put my bike in the side-by-side, I sat in the seat, and they drove me to the finish line. That was a sad day. My wife just kind of shook her head. It was like one of those, like, I told you, but at least you tried. But I had this goal, I had this mission, I had this effort, and I got so far, and then I kind of fizzled out, I kind of flamed out, I kind of hit my wall, and we do that sometimes in our life spiritually, and I know that, where we do everything that we can, because we're all like that to some degree in our life. Well, be it physical, be it spiritual, whatever it is, we have these goals that we set, and then we hit a wall. Like, I'm going to do this big thing, and then I fizzle out. Like, November, like, say it's November 1st, and you're like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. And then you're like, oh, wait, Thanksgiving's this month. I can't. That's a whole meal. No, I can't do it. Or you're like, you know what, this is the year that I'm going to get out of debt. And then you look at the calendar, and you're like, oh, wait, Christmas is coming. I got to get some junk for my family, some things that they don't really want. If they wanted it, they'd have bought it, right? So we have this strong mission, and then sometimes something comes in and we have this setback and this discouragement kind of sets in. So here's what's happening in the word from the Lord through Haggai. God says, ask them. God says, okay, in verse 2-3, he says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Now, in other words, who in this place remembers what Solomon's temple looked like before the destruction? Who remembers the glory days? Wasn't it amazing? Now that you look at the temple, you don't think it's anything, do you? That's what's happening is you know, some of you guys remember what it was and you wish it was that today, but we got to do some work to get there. We got to work our way there. And Haggai, they estimate, was probably around 70, so he was probably old enough. He saw the glory days. He remembered what it was like. But I want to give you quick here today, I want to give you two that you see on your bulletin, two causes of discouragement, and they are comparisons and lack of progress. Because we get fired up and we have these goals, we have this place that we want to be, but then we get discouragement. I want to give you two causes. The first one is comparisons. Now, I know none of this is earth-shattering, right? We all know that we face these things, but certainly these people were doing the very thing that we so often do. And here's what that was. They were comparing their start to somebody else's finish. They're comparing their start to somebody else's finish. They say, well, we just started, but then they look and they're like, well, our temple doesn't look very good. Their temple used to be so much better. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I get incredibly discouraged and dissatisfied with my life when I'm constantly comparing myself to people are way ahead of me. You know what I'm saying? Have you been there where you're constantly looking too far ahead? It's like, well, he's got an amazing job and an amazing car and a fantastic house. Or she's got these really well-behaved kids and they show up at school and they've got these beautiful matching outfits and they've got all these baked goods and these perfect like ketogenic diet food and everything's just so perfect. And I look at my life, I'm just lucky to get the kids out of the house dressed and with lunch money. You know, it just, everything just kind of tanks. But we're constantly scrolling through Instagram. We see people's beautiful photos and then we don't realize that it took them 37 tries to make that beautiful photo, which is like when I put beautiful photos on social media, I like to show you the outtakes because that's just, those are the fun ones anyway, right? It's like it didn't just happen. You know, maybe sometimes where you're at in your life, you try to start a business, you try to start a new idea, and you just think, well, there's so many things that I need to do, so many things I need to create, so many people that I need to connect with, and I just can't figure out how to put all these pieces together. But then I look at the guy that's been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, and I'm like, man, I'm never gonna get there. But you know what? At one point, there was a starting point for that person too. Nobody starts at the 30-year mark. And it happens in our faith. We hear testimony of Jesus changing lives and Jesus setting people free and healing people from addictions. And then we look at our life and we're like, well, why can't I beat this? How come I pray and pray and pray and God's not healing me? And we see somebody else's finish and compare it to our start and we get discouraged. But that's not God's heart for us. That's not God's heart for us. He wants us to ask him to take us where the Bible says that we shouldn't despise the small beginnings, that we should enjoy the small beginnings and the simplicity and the calling in that. The second thing that causes discouragement is lack of progress. Where we start building something, we have a mission, God stirred this in my heart, and I just know that there's something big that's gonna happen, but yet I go, and every time I look back, I'm like, well, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's like I ate kale and almonds for a month and gained 5 pounds. What am I doing wrong? Why can't I get any margin here? I'm trying something new, but every time I try something new, I take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. It's like we're working and trying to be a good Christian, but I'm still jealous and still critical and still losing my temper all the time. I try so hard and it's like it doesn't seem worth it. Why? I tried to heal our marriage and it didn't work yesterday, so I'm done. But why? What? We look back and we say, why is this taking so long? Why do I not see any progress? Why are we working our tails at this? And we don't see the momentum. It's like nothing's happening. So I just want to kind of give up. But in closing, here's what Haggai says to the people who gave up, the people who quit. Here's what the Lord says through Haggai. He says in verse 2:4, says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land," declares the Lord. "Work, for I am with you," declares the Lord. Now, I love this because you remember, these were the same people who God stirred in their heart. He stirred in their heart to call them to the mission. And when they fizzled out, God shows up and he says, okay, now here's what we need to do, guys. I need you to be strong and do the work. When you don't feel like persevering through the discouragement, when you're getting discouraged and all these things seem like they're piling in on you, God had a message for them, and he says, simply be strong and do the work. When you feel like giving up, God says, don't give up, stay strong, be strong, keep working, not seeing results, be strong, keep doing the work. Keep doing the work. It doesn't say dream the dream from your lawn chair and then stay in your lawn chair and hope that things happen. It doesn't say talk the talk on social media and then go home and do nothing. No, it says do the work. It doesn't say compare yourself with others constantly. It says do the work. It says he wants them to listen to him and say, okay, remember last week it was go up into the mountain, grab the timber, and come down and build my house. It's okay, let's lay down a brick. Let's lay down a brick. God has stirred this in your heart. Let's lay down a brick. Just one brick. And when you lay down that brick, don't look at that brick and say, well, that's pathetic. I've done nothing. It's just a brick. No, no, God says, turn around, pick up another brick and lay down another brick and then lay down another brick and lay down another brick and lay down another brick, and I'm gonna strengthen you the whole way through this so that by the time you get to the end of the wall, you're gonna turn back and say, wow, look what God and I did. How awesome is that? But if we're constantly looking at our lack of progress, we're constantly just getting ourselves to this place of defeat. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. If you want to write anything down, that's a good thing to write down. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. So be consistent with what God has showed you to do. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Just consistently, God has called me to build this wall. Consistently, lay down the brick. Consistently, lay down a brick. Consistently, lay down a brick. One more day, one more time, one more mission, one more move. So for me and the future of this community of faith is keep praying, keep studying, keep preaching Christ, me and you, keep building community, keep connecting with each other, keep going to the dock and making friends, keep coming to classes and making friends so that you can sharpen each other and work together, continue to do a little bit more as God stirs in your heart so that the community of faith can become deeper, deeper, deeper. So that when you have a need, you don't necessarily have to call me because you've made six friends and one really, really close friend that can walk with you. But we continue to do what God has called us to do, and we continue to overcome. And like in Galatians 6:9, God says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. If we don't look at the brick and say, well, that's just one brick. Instead, we just keep going. We keep doing the work. We keep staying strong. We keep praying through it and asking God to give us the strength for this time, this time, this time. And do the hard work. Now I want to end real quick with a mind-blowing reminder, a mind-blowing truth for you guys. There was a glory in the temple in Solomon's days that these people were trying to get back to. A glory in that. Where they wanted to recreate that, and they were so excited about making it what it was, but they kept facing all of these struggles. But what happened in their time period, and this is the beautiful thing, because I don't know if you realize, I don't know, when I read the Old Testament, I am constantly reminded that I am so blessed to live in the age of grace. I am so glad that I lived post-Jesus' resurrection, right? Because these people had to do some crazy things. So what happened was people used to go to the temple to make sacrifices to God. They went to the temple to get to God. So they wanted to restore it to its former glory because people were all over. Like I said at the beginning, people from all over the region were traveling in because they went to the temple and they got to see this amazing architecture. But more than that, they got to experience God because God's living there. The Ark of the Covenant, all those things. God is present there. So they go get God. But we live in an amazing time where whenever Jesus was resurrected, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can do what? The Holy Spirit can live inside of us. So we become the temple. How awesome is that? How awesome is it that you don't have to go out there and build all these physical bricks because you've got to go get, you got to get out into your backyard and drop, stop by at the mill and get a whole bunch of supplies and build this big, beautiful altar and burn some incense and pray that God will come down and show up at your altar. Maybe pull an Elijah and like explode it with lightning or something. Like, that would be awesome, right? But we don't have to do that because Jesus lives in my heart and I become the temple of God. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful blessing to live in this time. So as the worship team comes to sing us out, I pray that if today you're at a place of discouragement, that you will realize, and maybe for you this just means I'm going to go home and I'm going to read the book of Haggai, just see it, see if God knows what he's talking about, right? I pray that you will truly see that when you face discouragement, you can persevere and with God's help, be strong and do the work. Be strong and do the work. Because there's no better time than today. It's the day we're promised, right? Only today. This breath, this breath, this breath. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your spirit guiding and leading us. I thank you for each one of these people that are here today. And I do pray, Lord, that your spirit will teach them and grow them and challenge them and encourage them to continue on in whatever it may be that you've stirred in their hearts. We love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.